Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a 5 with 5, 5 with 5, you already know this. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back after a phenomenal performance by us Manchester United fans, drawing 2-2 with Liverpool. Joel Bayer, Stephen Howson, Rio Ferdinand. Listen, Arsenal, Chester United, we did it, guys. An amazing, amazing point. An amazing point for Man United. Well, it's not really amazing for you guys, but great 2 points dropped for Liverpool on our title chase. But yes, you guys were all at the game yesterday. We had Patrice Evra at the game yesterday as well. Flex, all the stars were out. It was brilliant.
Yeah, man, it was a mad. I don't even know how to feel about the game yesterday. The best part about the game yesterday was that Liverpool dropped points, hopefully for Arsenal to capitalise. Forget Man United almost. It was one of those, it's a weird situation to be in. We were on the way to the game in the car, me and Patrice and Flex, and like, what do we expect? But none of us could even pick a result. I actually got a draw right. I called a draw, but you just don't know what Man United is going to turn up. It's and you look at it, and I just look at the positives from it. Kambuala was immense, young 19-year-old centre back, and Kobbie Mainoo goes on and scores an absolute wonder goal. His first goal at Old Trafford. Can it get any better,
Steve?
Yeah, a bit like Rio. It's like I think I text Rio in the morning saying I'd take a draw right now. Because I was not looking forward to going in the slightest. I thought it was an absolute pumping, but you know, we started well. I mean, we had the offside chance within 90 seconds of the game starting, and you think, can lightning strike twice here? But for Liverpool cheating again, then we would have come away with all 3 points.
I mean, on my end, it was brilliant, if I'm honest with you. Like, I say brilliant. I would have loved the 3 points if it wasn't because of Aaron Creighton, Wan-Bissaka. Like, you got to stay on your feet, lad. You got to stay on your feet. And me and you were saying last week, weren't we, Rio? Everyone was looking, going, oh, Arsenal, this, you know, you guys should have won here and there. But there's so many twists and turns in this title run that anything can happen. And I think now we're in a prime position. We ain't got easy runs, but bringing it back to United, I felt like even though Liverpool dominated first half, you still had chances in the first few minutes. You know, you could have went ahead.
Yeah, Steve makes a good point. And in the first 5-10 minutes, we're looking at each other going, well, this is what we were asking for. A little bit of like heart, determination, just off the cuff going for it. And they managed to create a couple of chances. A disallowed goal, obviously, because of the offside. But you look at it and think, right, the boys, the reaction is exactly what you wanted after the Chelsea game. You want that intensity and roll your sleeves up and ready. You know the assignment. It's Liverpool coming to town. We need to get a result and we need to start sharp. And so that happened. But then obviously the inconsistencies that reared their head, yes, with Brentford, but also with Chelsea, and many games we've seen in the season straight away come to the fore again because we can get onto this. We've probably got a good point to go on it now. Steve, I'd be interested to see what you think as well. The manager came out before, and it was on the Five Instagram page about saying that the style of play, if anybody can't see the style of play, like, I don't know what you're looking at almost, basically, and that we have got a style of play.
I can't.
Yeah.
and I just, for the life of me, I swear to you, I give him the benefit of the doubt every time. And I'm looking at it and just thinking, like, well, what is it? Like I said yesterday after the game on the match day 360, if Kamikaze, open sesame, kind of no control of the game football is what we're looking for, he's got it now done. He's doing a great job at it because that's what we're playing. And you can put that down to injuries or whatever, but even there's loads of teams who've got a lot of injuries. We've got a lot of injuries, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of teams that have injuries, but they still play a similar style of football to what they're trying to achieve. I don't think Ten Hag's style of football is this kamikaze chaos football.
Man's playing. He's playing game six NBA basketball playoffs like every match. Like every match.
And then that type of football leads to. It leads to seeing players at their worst at times. So, for instance, Casemiro, for all that he's won and the great player that he's been, he will look a worse player when the tactics are the way they are, when it's open transition football, when there's big spaces around him. In that midfield, at times, another midfielder is 20 yards away, 30 yards away. That never happened at Real Madrid. So you don't see his worst traits, which is his mobility. Same with Kobe Mainoo. Their worst traits are probably their mobility. So you do things with a structure of a team so that you don't see that. We're doing things that you're going to see exactly their worst trait. So it makes them look worse at times. You look at Højlund. How many balls did we get in the box for him? How many balls did we get in and around in the channel for him to run onto? We don't seem to be playing to his strength. And then you've got the two centre-backs. You've got a 19-year-old centre-back, zero protection in front of him. Like, the amount of times that Liverpool threaded the ball through from back, straight through to an attacking midfield player behind our midfield to run at our back four. Mate, like for a 90, that's why I say his performance, he was on the eye, it was great. But if you look at the details, he's had a magnificent performance because he had to deal with so much things that a structured team would never have to deal with, or a structured team wouldn't have to deal with as much. So there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of things that are going on in the team where we're not seeing the best of our players, and I think that's because of the way the team's set up.
We did well. Steve, your thoughts, Steve?
I agree on both of those points. The structure is problematic, I think. And I was sort of making some notes during the Chelsea game that maybe just let the handbrake off and let's have it. Almost Kevin Keegan, mid-90s-esque Newcastle is the way that this United team can thrive, because you got to put yourself in Ten Hag's shoes a little bit. At the start of the season, we couldn't score any goals. We seem to find goals at the moment. We are scoring some goals. But now we're not keeping clean sheets. So finding the balance is hard for him. What I can see is like a bad version of what Liverpool's early Klopp team was, where they're very, very transitional and they're pressing heavy. I think we press quite well. And I think we pressed Liverpool quite well yesterday. But if you beat the first line of the press, there's too big a gap. And that there's a massive, massive gap to the back line. And I wonder if one tweak to United's midfield might help it, where if Bruno stopped playing as an 8 and started playing as an 8 rather than a 10, can he get involved in a rotation? Because quite often you'll see Casemiro or Mainoo dragged out to one of the wings to give a little bit of protection because the fullbacks are high. And then the other one has been high pressing the ball, so there is nobody in midfield. So they're not getting past Mainoo and they're not getting past Casemiro. They're just not there to go past. It's just an enormous gap. It's like six attacking players and a back four just sort of waiting on the halfway line. But then when you're up against absolute speed demons like Nunes, who's ridiculously fast, Harry Maguire can't look at him and think he can catch him. So you're hoping Willie can, but then he's going to have to give himself 5 yards. So the defence just naturally starts to drop 5 or 10 yards, sort of anticipating a big dosh over the top. And before you know it, those screenshots start appearing where there's 40 metres between the defence and the nearest player. You know, and I think that's the worst thing, is that United don't seem to be able to stop a transition. We seem to be better at, okay, first half we didn't manage a single shot, but that's where just looking at shots does you dirty a little bit, because we actually did have opportunities that didn't lead to a shot, but it was really good penetration, really good opportunities that we didn't quite have the final ball for. And Liverpool had like 14, 15 shots in the first half. You know, we've equalised with our first shot of the second half. And then we have a bit of a...
What a goal, by the way.
There's only Bruno on that pitch that has the audacity to try that. Yeah. Maybe Garnacho, he might try something like that, actually. Yeah. But there's not a lot of them that would even attempt that. The fact that he's even seen him off his line with... With the the amount of time he had to think about what to do is crazy. Insane. But I wonder if bringing Bruno a bit further back, because we've seen him do it. Like, it's not like he can't play as like a bit of a box-to-box eight. I think it probably suits his personality better. He'd get him on the ball, have him playing forward balls rather than playing with his back to goal and trying to create a bit of magic, because he gets crowded out. And I think you'd be able to find him a bit more.
It's so funny you say that, Steve, because I was talking with Irvin yesterday and he said something really, really similar. He reckons you're probably going to be getting the most out of his position when you play him right there. That's why I was listening to you. It's funny that you say that. When you're looking at the goals, though, the quality, Rio, you spoke about Maino's goals, and yes, even I'm the type that says we shouldn't really hype him up too much, but bruv, what are you doing shooting from there? Like, to get it in, I was so proud. Like, I was genuinely, genuinely proud.
Yeah, like there's some moments at the stadium, at grounds, that you watch games and you go, like, everyone's looking at each other like, did you just see what happened there? Oh my, that was one of their moments, because it was kind of out of nothing as well. Good move, to be fair. But it was just like...
He started it as well, Rio. He started that move.
And the audacity for him to even take that on at that point. But his two best moments, it seems, in a Man United shirt, have been in the same position. That area of the box, Wolves away. And then it started to lead me to think, is he maybe better off being a little bit higher as well? I mean, but the problem is that we've got Bruno, the last to operate in those areas, but then say maybe Manu. So he's got to maybe like take away a little bit from his game. But once he gets into those areas, he is cold as you like. And I want to see him in there more. We've got to find a way of maybe helping that to happen. But he didn't. I don't think he actually played like one of his best games yesterday for Man United in the way that he's come into the team. Mm. But again, he had an impact. And at this level, that's sometimes enough. Like, Salah's the same. Salah didn't play well yesterday, but gets one of the goals. It's put up, yeah. What I know. But Kobe, I mean, every time he plays at the moment, it seems like he's doing something or a few things that makes you go, at this age, this isn't normal.
Oh, Rio, what do you guys think of Maino? I mean, obviously, you guys had a lot of chats in the car and at the game. Did you guys talk about him?
I think the biggest mistake you can make with a young player is to expect perfection every week, to expect these type of things to happen every game. But the problem is that he's producing something almost every game where you do scratch your head and go, he shouldn't be doing this. Even his composure at times, and he just lays a simple one-touch ball off. Most other kids are thinking, I've got to get it down and do something. The way he's strengthening people off, like he's bodying people at his age, like ridiculous. I remember Patrice grabbed my leg after he strengthed someone in the game. Oh, my God. Because when we were younger and we were playing, if someone done that to you, it was like, listen, now with social media, it's living forever. But I think he's a really, really, really top talent. And I think just the temperament alone for me suggests that he's going to be here to stay.
Man. Yeah, I think he wasn't at his best on the ball yesterday. He didn't really lose loads of possession, but he didn't really.
Second half, he made a few big tackles, didn't he? Second half.
Well, yeah, I think he won 8 of 9 tackles. Which I think was one of the highest in the match. So I think he sort of just did a job a little bit more yesterday where he played without the ball. And I think that's that plus, like you said, his temperament and his maturity. Where does he go from here? Because like you see young players come in and they make mistakes and they do things that you go, he'll learn from that. But what's Maino doing that you go, oh, he'll learn from that? Like, he's just doing everything right. Like, I can't even predict sort of the trajectory of him, because even Rooney, you saw flashes of Rooney, but he would make like selfish mistakes and stuff where he was trying to overplay. Maino's not doing that. So like, where's the trajectory for him? Where does he improve? How does he get better?
Do you know what increases him improves him as a player? It's trophies. Because you're right. He's doing a lot of right stuff. But he's that level that you think he's going to go at, Steve. He can only go at that level. It's like Rio. We could all see the potential when he was at West Ham, when he was at Leeds, but it wasn't until he was in a team where he was winning trophies year in, year out for the majority of it that you could go, yeah, he's there at world-class level.
You need the team to find some sort of consistency within a structure. And then I think you'll see even more. And then comes the winning element. But until you get that consistency of teammates, performance, structure, the whole 11 playing a certain way, and then he can build on what he's got now. he's playing off instinct at the moment, because that's what you do as a young kid. You play off instinct. You play off, like, you try things. You're fearless. Some do. But there's going to be, next season will be the testing time, because people will know about him exactly and go, right, I've had time to watch him, and players studied. They've got enough data now, enough information to see is how then he switches it up again next season. What does he do? But I do think any great young player, they do need the consistency and platform of a very solid foundation of a team to be able to really produce their stuff on a regular. You'll see flashes, but seeing it consistently, you need that other stuff, I think.
You're going to see it for England as well, I reckon. I reckon he's going to, because he's so cool and calm. You saw it against Belgium already, but you're going to see when he's around good players and playing well consistently, he's going to look like world class. Like
if he plays for England, the only way he plays is if Foden plays on the left wing. And I don't think Foden should play on the left wing.
But who's screaming for it at the moment?
Southgate has to pick a system and then stick to the system.
Like, he doesn't make
the same mistake that Sven made, where you just try and shoehorn in all the best players because they're the best players. He wants to pick the system and then get the best players for the system.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're in a Lampard-Gerrard-Scholes problem again.
Yeah, but the difference is Lampard-Gerrard-Scholes, none of them are Declan Rice, which is what you needed in that three. So we've got the Declan Rice bit there. He's got to play two creative players on the other side of him.
That might be a bit ballsy for old Mr. Sparkling Water, though. So,
last bit before we move on after our surprising draw yesterday.
Let's talk about the dive, can we?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Wait, Rio, what are you saying, Rio? Like,
strangling dudes last weekend, nothing. No one gets said about it. Where's VAR when Van Dijk's trying to, like, put hands on people? And then we got this dive this weekend. No contact at all. It's simulation. Therefore, it's a dive.
You know what? I thought it was a pen, though, you know, Steve. Do you know why I thought it was a pen? It's not because it was like the hardest challenge you've ever seen. I thought it was very naive from Aaron, because if you're going to make that challenge in that box, bro, you got to make sure. That's just basic Sunday league, bro. Like, you got to make sure you win the ball there. You can't be in that position and, you know, you ain't fully got it. You're leaving yourself exposed and potentially you'll concede a penalty, which he did.
Joel's right. I think initially, when I was in a stadium, I shouted penalty straight away, right? And just that element alone, he's allowed everyone to think, is it or isn't it a penalty? Oh, is that a penalty? He's allowed the referee to have to make a decision. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, his best attribute is his slide tackling. He's the best in the game, yeah? Mm. And so you've got to you give him a little leeway, because he's so confident, because he 9 times out of 10, he wins that, yeah? But when you could do that anywhere on the pitch, but when you're in your own box, that's when I used to wear the T-shirts. Stay on your feet. I'm gonna bring them back, right? Because in that area, you just you and like Joel said, unless you are 100% gonna win the ball, you stand up. My last resort was always to go to ground in and around the box, right? But I understand sometimes, and my sympathy with Aaron Wan-Bissaka is that I know that feeling when the stakes are high. And someone's got a step on you, a little yard, half a yard on you, and you're thinking they're going to open up with a shot or they're going to tee someone like Salah up. You are your heart is coming out of your mouth. You're panicking. And that's why I think he slid
it
in.
Was naive, man. It was naive.
I'm not saying he wasn't. I think he was. I think he was naive.
But at the end of the day, there is no contact and he absolutely simulates that he's been fouled. Therefore, it is a dive by the book.
He's been cute. I think Elliot's been cute, and he's taken the little advantage that he's got through Aaron Wan-Bissaka sliding and used it to his advantage. And I would have been wanting the same for my attacking player.
What's the point of VAR looking at it, though, and seeing that there's no contact and he's already 3/4 of the way down before he's any sort of contact whatsoever? What's the point?
But there is slight contact, and also he's not in control of his body, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That's one of the key points when they're making that decision too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, for me, I would have, you know, you've seen them given even his free kicks outside the box. So as far as I'm concerned.
Don't you start talking. You still got to remember bleeding Gabriel, absolutely Hadouken in Hoyland in the area.
Yes.
See, this is what's annoying, is we had that one Thursday night. Thursday night, again, no contact with Delo whatsoever. The first one's even iffy, but I'll let you have the first one. Second one, it's a fucking dive. And that's three penalties in two games. Can you imagine United got three penalties in two games?
Oh, yeah,
Steve, you ain't got to beef me, Steve. We're on the same side here this week. You ain't got to beef me. You know what I mean? I didn't want it to be a penalty either, but we are where we are, you know? It's as simple as that. But yeah, it was fantastic yesterday. It really was. Mo Salah doing what he does again. Most Premier League goals against United, 11 goals. Most Premier League goals scored against Man United at Old Trafford, 6 goals. Most Premier League goals scored consecutively against Man United at Old Trafford, 4. Say no more, Mo Salah. Still don't think he's player of the season, but he's up there. Let's move it on
about
to...
Klopp only beating this worst United team of a generation once in 5 attempts. Greatest Liverpool team ever, apparently. Greatest Premier League team ever. Beat United once.
And he said...
Once.
And he said if United play the way they played yesterday, Arsenal 100% beat them. Why did he say that?
No, that is to get Man United up for that game. He wants that in Man United's mindset when they go into that game to prove him wrong.
You think he weren't mind bitter? Games. You think he weren't bitter? It sounded a bit bitter.
It's a bit bitter, but it's also mind games.
Well, he's right anyway. Going back to Arsenal... Top of the league. All of a sudden...
John, there's a point between three of you.
Exactly. Stop moving like you lot are...
Was it 7 games ago? 1 point between three of you. You've got Spurs, United, Villa. Let's be honest. Emery, last day of the season, to stop you lot winning the league after you sacked him. He's lubing himself up now waiting for that game. He can't wait. And I can't wait for that.
You're moving like you're by Leverkusen, 16 points clear. You're not. There's 1 point between three teams and you're not the favourites.
What do you think, Real? What did you say in the video yesterday?
And in the group chat? Arsenal to win.
What did you say? I know you want Arsenal to win, but what were your exact words?
No, at this moment in time. But the biggest point is, there's going to be...
See, when a man says no, at this point, and he doesn't answer the question, he's lying.
Listen, am I not a man that gives Arsenal their flowers?
Depends.
Come on. So I'm honest with Arsenal, I think Arsenal... At this point, there's going to be loads and loads of different changes in this, right? The dynamic's going to change over the next few weeks because it just happens, right? But at this present moment in time, and this could change next week even, right? But at this moment in time, the last few games, Arsenal looked the most composed and most controlled team out of the three. I've watched City the last 2 Premier League games, and for the first 45 minutes of both games, they could have conceded 2 or 3 goals in each game. They're not controlling like they have been in the second half of the games. If they can transfer that control to the 90 minutes that we're used to seeing from City, they'll walk the league. But at the moment, they're giving teams chances and they're giving up a lot of chances in games that you're not used to seeing City do. Done against Palace in the first half, who could have scored 2 or 3. They've done against Villa at the Etihad. But Arsenal... The solace, if you're an Arsenal fan, is that they no other team looks as composed. They look in complete control. They're stingy. They're not conceding goals. They look like their players are absolute unit. And they've got that concentration, it looks like, and a bit between their teeth, that they're on a mission. But their running would be something that leaves me with a little bit of apprehension about can they win the league.
No further questions, Your Honour. Steve.
Yeah, I've got some questions because, listen, 93% of last season you was top of the league, right? Yeah. And then you crumbled, folded, right? So you're not even at the 93% mark yet where you traditionally just toss it off. So you can't be sitting there all giddy. There is nothing in the bag right now. And this is the whole point of that little clip that's done the rounds of where we're going, we want you to win the league, or at least we should, but bells like you make us not want to because you've been celebrating for about 18 months. Like, if you win the league, I will applaud you and say, well done, because you've absolutely deserved it. But when you start celebrating at Christmas, you just annoy us.
Yeah.
And we're over it. We're bored of it. You can't do that. You can't celebrate before you win anything.
See, this shit here, this shit he's doing there,
this,
man.
This is the one.
Yeah, this is it.
No, because I did it. Because
me and Steve don't want City to win it because they go in 4 in a row. We don't want Liverpool to win it because they get 20. We want you to win it, but do it with a humility.
No.
Please.
No. Bro, let me tell you something, right? Scripts aside, if we win this league title, when we win this league title, I'm going on tour to see individuals, bro. Like, I'm keeping it so real, Rio. Like, jokes aside, I spoke to Paul and Chris from Redmen TV. I'm going to go visit them in their studio. Like, what's happening on a casual thing? Like, if you want to record, great. If you don't want to record, it's up to you. You know, I'm going to be visiting Steve. Steve, I'm coming to your studio. We're chilling, bro. We're chilling. Head's
Steve,
gone.
You got to be in, mate. You should be saying thanks at that point, surely.
Bro,
yeah, but it's this behavior makes me think, come on, Jurgen fucking Klopp or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's the best of three evils.
Like, it's just...
Let me tell you what you guys are doing, though.
Because
right,
they'll be like,
you know where you guys are doing?
Joe, before you go there, what I would like, if you win the league, is I would like a public apology to Mikel Arteta from yourself and a public apology to Kai Havertz. Because you wanted both of them out. You wanted both of them guys out, right? When it was when they needed support.
Your and Eddie, Premier League winner, Nketiah.
And Nketiah as well. Nah. I want all three of them actually with a public apology if you win the league, okay?
First of all, I've always backed Eddie. That's a fact, right? I haven't always known if he was the man to lead the line, but I've backed him. Facts. Kai, for 60, 65 million.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I can put my hands up and say, like, I wasn't quite aware of what he had offered, you know, but now when I see him on a weekly basis, I always say there's a reason why he's Mikel Arteta, and I'm just a fan watching. I'm just a fan, you know.
It's all irrelevant anyway, because City's going to decide that they fancy the winning.
And when it comes to Mikel Arteta, I have been known to have said things on DVDs and stuff like that, but hey, you know, end of the day,
Rio, we've got to solve ourselves with is the Premier League wouldn't have brought charges on Manchester City within a week of them being cleared by CAS if they didn't have something to hit them with, because they would have looked really stupid. So I'm just going to say, Premier League, if you've got a set of bollocks, City will be in Cheshire League next year. That's it. That's the top and bottom of it, right? So let them win this trophy. They're all tainted anyway because they cheated for every single one of them. That's the one that we're going to put our hat on. Did they win 4? Yeah, they did, but he fucking cheated. So bollocks to him. It's like Lance Armstrong's. Yeah, no one cares. He didn't win that. On we move.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine that. Wow.
Really quickly, Rio, I was just going to say, you spoke about how controlled we looked earlier on in the show. And I have to say, like, I don't think Saka's been at his best in it. But I think when you look at GA, he's contributed to 30 so far this season, and that's the thing about us Arsenal, like, we've had games where we haven't always been great. We do look in control for the majority of them, but mate, we get the results we need. Last week we got criticized, we got a result. This week I think we were much better. I think Brighton didn't really threaten us at all, you know, and that could have been considered a tricky
you're just
fixture.
Efficient you're efficient is what you need to be at this stage of the season.
Is that it?
Yeah. What do you want?
Steve? Did you watch it?
No.
You lot are just haters. No, Bayern Munich.
We had a game at the same time.
I'm doing the Munich game on Tuesday. So tomorrow.
Same
so I actually feel your favourites as well. I think you'll win. I think you'll beat them. I just think that the way you guys are at the moment, I just don't see. You got to keep Kane quiet. Keep Kane quiet and Musiala. If you can do that, then you've got a really good chance. I think that the big thing for Kane, obviously, is the last chance saloon for him to win a trophy this year. But also, what an opportunity for him, by the way, to put one over on Arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine Kane comes to the Emirates and bags a brace or something and bangs you 2-0 or something. Oh, my God. The Spurs faithful will be all over it.
We just got to beat him. But I say we need to beat him by 2 goals, because we need to take advantage, man. We really do. And I've got the feeling it's going to be an emotional night. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for post-match interviews as well. I'm even crying, almost crying, thinking about it, bro. Like I spent some time, as I told you the other day, I was with Tony Cruz, and I did what I did, and I asked him. I said, "What were your thoughts on Arsenal this season?" He just said, "We look solid. We look like a really good team." He's watching from Madrid, and he said he expects us to really give Munich a difficult time. Obviously, Munich's his former team, but he really expects us to give him a difficult time.
You should have asked him about Odegaard. I think that's an interesting point because obviously he saw him at Madrid. Wait, shout out Tony Cruz. He's coming on soon, right? But I would be interested to find out, and we'll ask him when we get him on, but about Odegaard, because the Arsenal faithful love him. Obviously, he's their captain, but he's getting big shouts now as to being like, where is he in terms of the top midfielders in the country at the moment in the Premier League? So, well, as an Arsenal fan, he watches most of their games. What are you saying, Joel? Where is he?
For me, I was talking about it with a friend yesterday. Like, I can't believe this guy's at our club. Because I'll be honest with you, when we got him, we were down, innit? And when you look at the player we have, that's a guy that could go for 100, 110, 120 million. I think in his position, you've probably only got Kevin De Bruyne that's better than him at the moment, if I'm honest. That's how much I rate him. And I remember at the start of the season, when he first became captain, last season, and you weren't 100% sure. Remember? Do you remember when you were 100% sure? And I told you that, look, this guy's got the bollocks, man. He has. He leads in his own way. And honestly, we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, man. A lot of that goes down to Mikel, but Odegaard.
For context, what I said, he said he got the armband and we'll see how he responds to it. Either he'll embrace it or he won't. And he's embraced it. And he's done it.
Rio's not trying to go viral this week. Yeah.
No. I think you have to. I think when some people, Harry Maguire got the captaincy, it didn't go rosy well for him, did it? It didn't improve him as a player. Do you know what I mean? There are some occasions where the armband can weigh heavy. But I think for him, it's different. Also, Man United, the size of the club is very different. So, different weight of club on your shoulders when it happens like that. But
do you know what Tony said? He goes, the player he mentioned Phil Foden, funnily enough.
Well, I was going to say that. You can't disregard Phil Foden in that comment when you're talking best in that position.
Yeah, I asked him about it and he was just like, this is what I thought really quickly. He said, wow, yeah, he's good, man. But it's almost like, you see, when I talk to you about some players, you rate them. But you know, one thing you've always said to me, Rio, is, and he didn't say this about Foden, by the way, I'm clarifying, but you get the feeling that they think they're still levels. Do you get where I'm coming from? He didn't say this. This is just what I took from it and whatnot. But it's like, he was just like, yeah, he's really good, man. Like, yeah, I saw yesterday he scored the hat trick. Because at the time it was when City won. Like, yeah, I saw it. But I just get the feeling that they know they're Madrid. They know
it is as well. He's looking at it, he's a younger. Say when if you're a sixth former at school and someone's hyping up a second or third year or year niner, and you're sitting there and going, bruv, yeah, man, he's good, man. He's good, but he's you know what I mean? He's just down
there. That's the vibe I got. Like, yeah. That is it. So
that's natural as well. And that's protecting himself because he looks at himself as the absolute don, which he is.
Yeah.
But let's move up. But talking about Foden, like I've done the City game with TNT at the weekend against Palace. The first 45 minutes, mate, Palace were all over them. They like forcing City into mistakes, overplaying the midfield and then counter-attacking them. Couldn't deal with Palace's counter-attacks. It was only for bad finishing, good goalkeeping. They hadn't scored a couple of more goals in the first half. But the unreal thing, listen, and I talk like this as a Man United man, right? But just to see the little subplots, the little soap operas that go on within football, and all of the talk and the murmurings before the game was around, he's got to play Phil Foden. Then Phil Foden, the team sheet comes out, Phil's on the bench, and everyone's going, right. And I asked Kevin De Bruyne this after the game. There's a huge amount of pressure, I'm sure, that goes onto a player's shoulders, no matter how much you've won or how much experience you have, when everyone's clamouring for the name that you've replaced to be in the team. So Foden's out, he's coming, and they're still going, oh, Foden's left, unbelievable, that's a massive decision. Right, they've got to get it right. Pressure mounts, yeah? And he said, no, you do feel the pressure. But the way he answered it, man, that first half, man, bro, he couple of the touches, but then the goal was like, it, the Kobe Mainu goal was similar, but Kobe's wasn't as powerful. There was a bit more venom in De Bruyne's one. It was an unreal finish, again, out of nowhere. And it was just like, and you saw Pep celebration kissing, because it was almost like justification for his selection as well. It was unreal. It was like crazy. And then the second half, the finish as well, left foot drill, bottom corner. Kevin De Bruyne, he just come in and just said, listen, I know there's a lot of hype about Phil Foden, but just let me just tell you, yeah, settle down, because I'm still here. That's what he said.
Incredible. You know, it was one of those real, when I was watching, because I was mad supporting Palace, obviously. Mad, like, come on, you Eagles, sell us Park and that. But there's, what can you do? You know, when you just see KDB pull out those kind of like performances or whatever, you just throw your hands in the air and you go, well, it's KDB, innit? Like, there's nothing you can do. But
and also Haaland done what Haaland does. Haaland was not in the game, didn't have any interest being involved in the game.
Scored
his 15th touch was the goal.
Yeah. But the one player we got to talk about, Jack Grealish.
Yeah, you're not having him.
Pardon?
You're not having him.
No, don't do that. This is
what? You said the other day in the group.
Ladies and gentlemen, for you guys watching, just so you know, we were having like mad back and forths in a group chat the other day. And I was basically saying, the woman that was commentating on TNT Sports, I forgot her name. But
Lucy.
What'd you say?
Lucy.
She was saying that Grealish is like, he controls the tempo of City. And then I said, she's wrong there, because to me, that's Rodri. Do you see what I mean? And then you said, to an extent he does, like in the way where he slows down the game and stuff. I said, yeah, he does. But
what group was you chatting in?
It was me, you, Flex, and
Anton,
yeah, and Jack's group. So, but saying that, then after that, Jack Grealish all of a sudden goes and gets involved in the next two goals. And even though I'm right, I look a bit wrong, but I still stand with what I said.
But your comment was, Rio, that lady commenting was talking pure waffle. She said Grealish is the key to how City play. He dictates a tempo for them. I said, he does to a certain extent in terms of slowing it down and bringing teams down to his pace. And then him or others, KDBs, Foden's, Silver, etc., speed it up when it gets to them. Like, changing the pace. I think that's the key point. The key wording is changing at the pace. Like, the game can be frantic, then all of a sudden it comes to Grealish, he slows it down, and sometimes when that happens, the purpose of doing that is for the other team who have been flying around like this, all amped up, and then all of a sudden they see to get to someone else, he takes a few seconds on the ball, and they go, the moment they do that, bang, you go again and speed it up and change the rhythm of the game. And that's how sometimes you catch teams, yeah? So that's why I say the importance of Jack Grealish, sometimes it isn't about what we expect from a winger all the time. In other teams, the winger gets the ball and his sole purpose is to take on the fullback or to expose the fullback and just get a yard and cross the ball. Whereas the requirements for Grealish in the Man City team, the way, a bit like Haaland, the requirements for certain individuals in their team, is the remit is very different to what you'd get from other teams and what their expectations are from the other managers. Pep has different asks of these players from other people. And it's not, so unfortunately, sometimes it's not as pleasing on the eye for some people, or not what the general public want. But it seems to be getting the job done.
I think he's wicked, by the way. It's just, I just didn't agree with what she said. I think you were actually right with what you said. I just think it was just bad timing because of his performance. And if we carry on with the group chat.
It's only because they're scoring goals that you look right. But you're not right. I'm telling you, he does not control the pace of the game. Like, he doesn't. Like, he'll draw a man in, you know what I mean? He'll bring a man through. But what she was saying originally is that he controls the tempo of the game. He doesn't control the tempo of the game. Rodri does. But he's having a good game. I'll give him that.
What did I say, Nick? What happened after that? He set up the goal.
KDB putting the world on notice.
He set up the goal, bro. Like, but I don't know. Listen, I just think Grealish, because he's a wide man, the expectation is for him, he's got to dribble and beat people, because you see the Garnachos do it, or you see Doku come in and do it, and he's just got to beat people. His reasoning for him to be there isn't just about trying to beat people. There's other reasons why he's there. Draw people to him, draw numbers to him to create space somewhere else. Mm. He needs runners. That's the one thing I say with Jack. He needs people running off him to create that space, like he did for the Haaland goal.
Yeah, great performance, great performance. Steve,
you want to stay silent on the City piece. Look at him; he don't even speak.
Honestly,
well, Joe, I'm going to say, why is everyone being so like wet? Oh, didn't he do well about Jack Grealish? He's a fucking £100 million player. Have some fucking standards, lads. You know what I mean? This is the minimum I expect from a £100 million player, is that he's able to maybe dictate the play a little bit or contribute some goals. Yeah, like what Raheem would say, he's fucking meant to. So how about that?
That's a great
What I will say is, we spoke it into existence. Or maybe not. Maybe there was a little bit more hard work behind the scenes going on. But Bayer Leverkusen are doing an absolute madness. They might, like you lot, fluffed a trophy undefeated, even though you lost six times that season. Bayer Leverkusen are about to do an actual invincible season where they don't lose in any competition. That's something you lot can't fathom because you lost
the real one.
They are going to win. Like, the only thing that's slowing it down is that it's a Europa League, which on some levels can be harder to deal with than a Champions League. They might win the Europa League. They're now in the final of the German Cup, I believe. And unless they take their eye off the ball, they are winning Bundesliga. Right?
Listen, massive shout out to Alonso. Like, massive, massive shout out to him. We dropped a video, a Retro 5 video on Saturday, where Steven Gerrard had old school, but he had nothing but positive words to say about Alonso. He is a legend. He really is.
I think he does. He's a better player and manager than he ever was.
Stevie, you know I love you, Stevie. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. I love you, Stevie. Let's move on. Tottenham.
Let's not move on. I think you can't just brush over. That's the biggest achievement in football this season if they pull it off. Yeah, it might be the biggest achievement. It's in the case for the biggest achievement in football, full stop.
And I'm not disagreeing from a general perspective, but from my perspective and my fan base, bro, I don't care. All right. So let's move it on to Spurs. Tottenham in the driving seat, obviously, for top four. It's funny because they ain't been great this season, man. The fact that they're currently sitting like third, I'm just thinking this league, man, either the quality's low or the teams are all better. It's just a bit. I was looking at the table yesterday. I know they played a game more than Villa, but with the way they've been playing this season, for them to be third.
Sorry. I think, you know what, we're talking about playing styles, yeah? And I think that Postecoglou has gone in there and absolutely implemented a playing style that you can see, and there's a shape and a way of playing. And it's a non-negotiable. He don't change. Like, he got hammered a little bit for that game against Chelsea, playing a high line. And yeah, I would maybe have probably liked to see a bit more of a balance and adaptation maybe for that game, maybe whatever. But he's so hell-bent on what he believes in, and this is us, and he's unapologetic about it. And he said it to me in an interview. Listen, if I start changing the way I play based on like injuries or form, when are they going to believe me? When I do try and say, we've got to go back to what I said originally. Yeah. And I do. There's a lot to be said for that. And he's somebody that, as I said to you, he's come in and it's straight away. There's some coaches who you get their style immediately, and this is one of them.
No, honestly, massive shout out to him. I do like him as well as an individual. Mm. So well done to them.
He's interviews at box office. I love him. I'm waiting for
they are
every week.
Really, really good.
What about Chelsea, man? What's going on?
Used to them.
Is Poch going to be there come 1st of September, do you reckon?
No.
I don't know. But Chelsea are as bad as Man United in terms of inconsistencies.
I think they're a lot worse than us.
I was going to say, you say that, but the table's saying something completely different. Table's saying they're much worse.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, you just don't know what you're going to get, whether they're much worse than us or not, but just their fans are doing what our fans are doing, scratching their head, walking into a game when you're trying to ask them for a result. Can't pick one.
Is one, yeah, because, yeah, I know we're rattling through results. Fulham 0, Newcastle 1, Villa 3, Brentford 3, West Ham beating Wolves. But let me ask you now, if you were to pick Rio and Steve, if you were to pick players of the season, now let's start off with English players. Who you've got? You've obviously got Harry Kane, Ollie Watkins, Cole Palmer. Foden for you.
Good shout. I think there's a good shout for someone like Cole Palmer. I think there's a really good shout for Ollie Watkins, whose goal involvements are off the charts as well.
18 goals.
Wait, just assists. In the Premier League.
I mean, because if you say worldwide, it's Jude Bellingham. We know that. But in the Premier League,
Declan Rice.
Why English only? Why English only? What's that got to do with anything?
Oh, it's just separate questions, mate. Just we're starting because obviously we've had Well, we've had a lot of chat about English players, for example, Saka, Foden, whatever. We can open it up in a second, but English and players
Bowen,
only at Watkins. The second.
Bowen, yeah. Watkins has been... I think Watkins is a great Bowen. Shout. Not fashionable in terms of the names we're talking, but like with the Palmers and the Fodens, etc. But man, he's what he's doing there under the Unai Emery has been like crazy. Yeah. Assists, goals.
It is a shout. Against. Is a name I hadn't heard a single person mention. He's doing a bit of a madness. Solanke.
Yeah. We were in for him at one point. I just don't know what it is. I think sometimes I just think it's because he's playing for Bournemouth.
Did he want to play in a better atmosphere stadium? Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah. But he's always been talked about as great potential. I mean, Jody Morris used to be the youth team manager and Joe Edwards used to be the youth team manager at Chelsea, and speaking to them both, like they would potentially he was going to look to be better than Tammy Abraham, but Tammy's gone on and flown and stuff. But and Solanke's now having his second wind, so yeah. I don't think there's any surprises at Chelsea. The people that were there as to seeing what he's doing, because potentially they always said he had it in him. He broke all the records as a kid scoring goals at Chelsea. Really?
Oh wow! So yeah, no, I honestly massive respect for him, and I know that he's probably one that's somewhere on our list as
one name player of the year. If you go now, who'd you go player of the year?
Player of the year, it's a tough one. I was having this chat yesterday with PK. I think
one name. No one, no talk. Just one name. Give me one name.
Rodri.
I said it last night, and I said it. Do you know why? And because my mate was going, he was saying. Oh, but, you know, Foden, and he said Rice has been better than Rodri. I said, look, Rodri, he doesn't have dips. He is there.
The worst game I've seen Rodri play was Palace at the weekend because he made one mistake and they almost scored.
Not one player in the Premier League has got the win rate of Rodri. Not one player comes out of his team's side and that team like goes from being like a 70% win to like a 25-30% win. There is not one player that has the same impact on what is an admittedly pretty good team as Rodri. So it has 100%, to be Rodri.
100%. Yeah. So for me...
I can't deny that either, guys. I'll go my player of the year today, right now, would be Rodri.
Really? Not even Foden?
I think Foden's close, but I think Cole Palmer's close. I think Ollie Watkins is close. But
I think what should matter... They always do player of the year around this time of the year, don't they? And it's wrong because the running is where the rubber meets the road or where Arsenal generally toss it off and realise who they are once they've looked in the mirror. So I think the last seven games are vital. Who's going to have the ability to stand up and see their team over the line? And I think that should weigh heavy on whether or not you're player of the year. So
For the teams that are fighting relegation and the teams that are going for... something at the top of the league. These are the hardest games, hardest moments, because you're not only you're not going into it fearless without thinking about anything. There's so much riding on it that pressure breeds a different type of approach to a game for players. In game pressure, the feeling of a 5-yard ball is very different to a game on the first, second, third, fourth day of the season when there's nothing riding on it really at that time. It's so different. I see people when the pressure's on who used to walk out with their chest out or they'd be asking for the ball every moment. Not as much when it's them, whether it's relegation times or fighting for trophies. Some players grow and get better. Like you look at it right now, like the Rodri's, Foden's, De Bruyne's. They grow. They've been here before. They've seen it. At this moment in time, Odegaard looks to be one of them at the moment as well. Do you know what I mean? But Havertz is coming to the fore. Like there's players, the two centre halves at Arsenal are doing that. But some players don't necessarily do that. So we'll see. I agree. We should be doing, because it's so digital, the digital world now, we could do that vote on the last day of the season after the last game.
I think it's to get the players as well. Because obviously I'm part of the Football Writers Association and I'm going to be interviewing the winner. I'm going to be interviewing the winner, whoever that is. So
I've seems got, when it's Foden.
The funny thing is, if I did my vote 2 weeks ago, it would have been Foden. If I d- do it now, it's Rodri. It's so hard to tell because that could change again in a week.
But that's my point. Because we live in a digital world now, before you're waiting on the Royal Mail to deliver all of the votes, now you could do it via one person going in the training ground, collating all the players' votes, bang of a button, email, bang, it's done. Do you know what I mean? Or go on an app. Every player has to go on the app. If you don't, you get fined. Every player votes on the last day of the season. It's simple. It's not hard. Someone counts it up. It's done in 24 hours. Simple.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. We'll see. No, anyway, true. I've got to run, guys. I've got to go and shape up my beard before I work this week.
Rio, I'm going to be watching a game and creating content, but bro, be very careful what you're saying on TNT Sports. Like, I want you to go viral for the right reasons this week. Make sure
what,
props.
What did I go viral for? What was the wrong reason then? Tell me what the wrong reason I went
Because do you know what it is? You and Anton, like,
No. I ask you, what do I go viral for? Answer the question, please.
You go viral for every time you speak about Arsenal.
Yeah, but why? What was I wrong?
A bit viral last week talking about United with Nev.
Yeah. But was that?
That was good. By the way, that overlap interview was good as well. By the way, just letting you know.
Shout out the boys on the overlap, man. The only problem was I got to put a video out because the way they treated me when I got there weren't right. The video's dropping soon.
Really?
Yeah, man. I'm making my own coffee. No, I couldn't fucking believe it, man. Out of all
the way. No way.
Put it in here now. Put it in here. Bang.
Just here, the overlap, stick to football. You can hear the guys behind me. Can you see them behind me there? She righted her. I'm making my own fucking coffee. Come all the way from London to Manchester, and I'm making my own coffee. Not even offered a glass of water. Hospitality, 0 out of 10 so far. No food. I requested food, no food. Doing my own coffee. It's a joke. He's just offered me a coffee now, he's seen me doing it. And he hasn't. He's gone, just come to get himself some mini rolls. This is a wind-up, this. Absolute wind-up. Look, I've not even got a spoon. Here we go. There we go. Yeah, I'll do it, mate. It's not. This is how it started. I wonder how it's going to finish here.
Yeah.
Are we getting him on ours or what? We bringing
him? He's coming on. Him and Jamie are coming on when we want him. We just got to decide when we want him to come on.
Oh, that's wicked.
So we just have a conversation and decide when we want him to come on. What's a good time for us?
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Rio. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate your...
Stay tuned, by the way, guys. We've got some big guys coming on next. We've got someone that's Joel. Joel has to apologise to, maybe. We've got a big German legend hopefully coming on before the end of the season. Among many others. So let's go, man.
For sure. Keep on watching and we'll see you soon. Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.